traders spent the week fixated on weather. But with weekend showers in the forecast and a crop production report next week, will other fundamentals grab the headlines? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Chris Hurt, an agricultural economist at Purdue University. Our panelists today are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willl.uiuc.edu.
Let's begin today's panel with this question. With all the weather discussion as well as the volatility we've seen in the soy and corn picks, it's probably fairly easy to get distracted. Take a step back for a moment and analyze these two markets in light of the pending USDA crop production numbers that are coming out next Friday. Wayne Nelson.
Well, I think as we look at things, as you said, it's easily be distracted with the weather because that's what's been driving this market. We've been putting weather premium in, Dave. And we have a lot of replant that happened in the Indiana-Ohio area. So we're looking at, the acreage, the immersion is catching up, but we're not as far along as we were for the last report as far as what the yields look. And we're going to have to adjust back and say that some of the planning was, maybe 2 weeks later because of the immersion rate.
Bill Mayer?
Definitely weather is the name of the game right now, and that's going to have a big influence on what we do next week. But going into the supply and demand report next Friday, I think two things are important. One is it kind of went unnoticed, but on the last supply demand, that was the first one that we've had in about 8 months that the USDA did not increase carryout. And I think that's important, and it'll be important to see how that carries through on this report. And the other is to look at their 2005 crop, and they had a pretty hefty production number there, and see if they make any adjustments on that.
Matt Bennett.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree. It'll be interesting to see what they think about the 2005 production. I mean, when you look at last year, we had such a perfect year, and I think we all would agree nationwide we're not in near the shape right now that we were last year. We have potential, and in our area, things certainly look good, but weather is the name of the game. I imagine they'll tighten things up maybe a little bit on beans, but I guess I'm looking more forward to the acreage report at the end of the month.
Was there any technical damage done in row crops this past week, Wayne?
Well, we violated a lot of numbers this last week. We went on up, we went through the 245 on the corn. We come back through the lower levels. We come back through the 200-day moving averages coming down. And then we turn around and pop back up a little bit on Friday. So we've been all over the board. The technical numbers do add some validity, and we saw a lot of the larger advisory firms advising some more hedges and corn and beans on the downturn on Thursday. But then a lot of people were wondering what to do going into the weekend weather on Friday.
Energy markets were on the march higher this past week. The July crude oil contract ended the week at $55.03. That's up $3.20 from a week ago. Implications for the grains, Bill?
Well, I think that what everybody's watching there is they're watching the fact that the funds have come into the energies and have come into it pretty hard back there in February. And that's positive, I guess, from that standpoint, that you see the energies come back. But long term, I'm not sure that lower energy prices aren't, in the long term, a better, gives you more spending income, more demand for the commodities.
Matt Bennett.
Well, you look at maybe shipping rates and see how much it's going to cost to ship. I don't know. I guess higher energy prices, it seems to me like everything's just you know, the CRB, whenever you get the CRB rallying, everything's just been kind of following along. So I don't know. I guess I would just agree with Bill. I don't really know a good answer to that question.
July corn had a high on the week of 228, a low of 215 and a quarter. July corn ended the week at 218 and a quarter, down 3 from a week ago. The December contract, 236 and a quarter, down 2.5 from last week. The fundamental backdrop for corn remains negative with enormous old crop stocks, and much of that corn is still in producer hands. And seasonally, corn prices erode in June more than any other month. But with all that's going on in the soybean pit, Wayne, the potential for rust and or aphids, the need for a trend line or better crop, do beans give upside potential for December corn? And if so, how much?
Well, I think that beans and the rust issue are the hope for corn to possibly make a recent high and take us towards that 249 and three quarters mark, Dave. And I think that that's what a lot of people are somewhat holding out for. We've said before, and we did not pull the trigger fast enough this week, we need to be thinking of probably pushing our hedges anything over 240 again, adding to them. But with the idea that there is a chance getting up that 250, 255 mark on the time period when we do see the rust scare coming to the Midwest, and it probably will.
Bill?
Yes, I think the answer to your question, the beans, if they get a situation where they make a larger move higher, I think that definitely can help the corn market. I was kind of disappointed in the corn market this week that we didn't go up and test those previous highs, those March highs. But we really just see who's got the you know, the bear still has the bigger club right now. And we need to see some realistic reduction in yield before we do much more than that, I believe.
Will USDA lower their new crop corn yield forecast next week? And if so, by how much, Matt?
Well, yeah, I could see them lowering their yield maybe a little bit. I don't know. It's awfully early. Usually you won't see a big change in June. But, you know, if they did, I wouldn't think that would be in more than a bushel, bushel and a half.
Wayne?
I'd have to agree. I think that they won't take all of it off at once, but they had better lower it as we look at the crop conditions down in the 60s, you know, 62% last week and looking to be a little bit lower this week. You know, it depends on how we're looking at things, but I would have to say they'd have to lower 1 to 2 bushel.
The discussion about weather forecast certainly has been a head-scratcher in the last week, and on Thursday we saw corn decline in that July contract by something along the lines of 7.5 cents. Bill, how do you describe what's going on in this market?
Well, I think one thing that is definitely true, and I think Dan Zwickard mentioned this on one of your shows this week, I mean, most of your weather forecasters are looking at all the same models pretty much. One thing that came in and I think helped to put some pressure on the corn really was that the 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day forecast that the USDA puts out or the National Weather Service puts out were coming out a little bit wetter than previously at the beginning of the week there. And I think that's one of those that seems to be pretty consistent.
Taking a look at the soybeans, the July contract, a high on the week of 690, a low of 664 and a half. July soybeans finishing the week, 675 and a quarter, up 7.5 on the week. The Noves, 680, up 12 from a week ago. There's been a lot of risk premium built into the soybean market, it seems to me. But with the bearish fundamentals that are out there, I wonder if it's still justified. And I'm thinking especially of the fact that soybean rust has not spread far and wide thus far across the U.S., that South American hedging seems to be intensifying, planning an emergence ahead of schedule, and that China appears poised to slow purchases. Is there beginning to be some cracks in the bull argument, Matt?
It remains to be seen. It depends on who you talk to on how much that there might already be in the market for rust. But to me, we haven't really had the right climate for the spreading, I guess, of rust thus far. I think that there will be the spread of some rust. And if there is, you know, as it creeps up the Mississippi Valley or Ohio Valley, it's going to get into the market. And I think as long as we have some weather concerns and some dryness concerns, it's going to be pretty tough to crack the market too much. I think that beans are going to hang in there. I think they'll hang in there at least until we see a measurable amount of precipitation.
We had some unconfirmed reports on Friday on meal coming up out of Brazil to the East Coast. And with rust confirmed in the U.S., I suppose producers will put pencil to paper. And if beans are cheaper from Brazil than the U.S., they'll probably go ahead and import beans as well. What are the implications for futures, Wayne?
Well, if we start importing from South America, it's not good at all. But we have to remember that this generally happens. It's with Louis Dreyfus Corporation. They generally import a few loads to the East Coast, that one hog operation. We generally talk a lot about it. It doesn't affect a lot of things unless we see a lot bigger scale of this, Dave. But, you know, right now it's for some of the other grain firms to do this would be political suicide as far as with the farmer clientele they have, and we would urge them not to do it.
What will USDA do with its yield forecast on next week's crop production report, Bill?
On the soybeans?
On the soybeans.
I don't think they'll. I think they'll put them pretty much right there at trend, just like they had them last time. I think the more important factor on the report will be how much they increase the exports in the crush, because there's really some solid evidence there that they should increase those numbers.
Wheat put in a key reversal on the weekly charts at 341. And with pending harvest pressure and new crop wheat sales thus far lagging from levels a year ago, I wonder if 2005 is going to be like 2003, when a May rally led to a 50-cent June decline, Matt.
Yeah, I can't see a whole lot of reason to get real bullish on wheat in any way. With harvest looming and global demand isn't real hot and exports have been lackluster, I just can't get real bullish wheat.
Let's go ahead and look at those wheat prices. July, 342 and three quarters for the high, the low 321. July wheat finishing the week at 323 and a quarter, down 11 and three quarters from a week ago. December, 343. Down 11 and a quarter from a week ago. Wayne, you have something to add to that?
Yes, I think the commercials have really shown us that they are reversing their spreads. They've been long wheat and short corn, and they're turning around and actually reversing that spread and putting on long corn and short wheat now, and feeling that the wheat is going to lose more ground than the corn, or at least gain less, whichever way this weather market takes us.
Longer term, is the wheat market more friendly? And if so, why, Bill?
I think that the best thing that the wheat has going for it is if you could get the corn to rally up above that 250 level for some reason. I think that could help pull the wheat up. But otherwise, I think at July wheat up there in the 350 level is a good sale, has been, and will continue to be.
And is there potential in this market to give new crop corn a spark, Matt?
Not at this point, not in my opinion by any means.
Let's go ahead then and look at the livestock live cattle for June, a high of 85.60, a low of 84.05. June live cattle finishing the week at 84.97 and a half, down 10. August feeders, 111.70, up 25. Lean hogs for June, the high 72.60 there, the low 68.10. June lean hogs finishing the week at 68.20, down 4.05 from last week. The July pork belly contract at 70.72 and a half, down 217 and a half from a week ago. Wayne, what is the potential for the cattle market to work lower into the summer?
Well, you know, first off, we're going to see probably a little pop trying to get some Father's Day supplies booked in for there. We did see cash cattle trade at $86, which was $2 higher than what they were offered earlier in the week. But we have seen quite a bit of downturn in things. I think one of the things we're looking at very large is what's happening now on the Mexican border with the brucellosis problem down there. And if we can keep them out, I know that feeder cattle have been trading quite a bit higher, are staying quite high in the respect of how the cattle have been moving on down the live areas. So I think that we have a chance to move on down, but if we keep both the Canadian and the Mexican border closed, we're probably going to sustain right in this level.
I want to stay with you, Wayne, and ask you about the hogs and ask you particularly, are prices there a little bit cheap given the fact that the kill remains strong? I think, you know, we're going to end up somewhere around 1.9 million head this week.
Well, the lean index is still below the June futures, and cash hog prices are mostly steady from what they've been this week. But the packer demands, they've been just steady. They haven't been bidden up to improve the flow that way. So I think that we are seeing just a little bit of backup of pork right now, but it's going to pick up along if we have some tighter beef supplies.
The July oats contract ending the week at 139, up 3.75 from a week ago.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The beginning of climatological summer on June 1st of this week brought with it a change in the weather regime over Illinois and the Midwest. There was a noticeable increase in humidity levels this week as winds swung around to the south. However, despite a warm-up late in the week, temperatures still averaged slightly below normal across most of Illinois. The exception was northern Illinois, where easterly winds kept temperatures 3 to 4 degrees below normal. The month of May ended up being very dry across Illinois, with rainfall less than half normal across most of the state. Only far southern and far northern Illinois had rainfall between 50 and 75% of normal. On the positive side, the dry weather was also accompanied by cooler than normal temperatures, lessening stress on both people and plants. A hot and dry May would have been much more of a problem. It looks like we are entering a period of potentially more active weather. The return of southerly surface winds to Illinois means an increase in dew points and in temperatures. A series of upper-level disturbances sliding through the Midwest next week will mean a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms almost every day. Temperatures will be more summer-like, with highs generally in the low to perhaps mid-80s, and overnight lows in the 60s, just about where we should be this time of year. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This is Dave Dickey, and you're listening to Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain. And joining us now on the telephone is Chris Hurt, an agricultural economist at Purdue University. And Chris, we thank you for joining us on short notice today on Commodity Week.
Oh, it's always great to be with WILL.
Want to ask you as an opening question, to what degree are you optimistic that we might see a summertime rally in soybeans?
Well, I think that largely has been covered. We're looking at weather is one of the factors that certainly can do that. Any year we can see weather do that. The other is soybean rust. I guess I tend to minimize soybean rust as a factor that gives us lots of rally potential. For this reason, first is I think we could get some rally potential on the announcement or the movement of rust further north, and I think that's what a lot of producers are wanting to wait on. On the other hand, we know in Brazil they can effectively treat with fungicides. I think producers are geared up, and the local co-op and commercial spray businesses are geared up to get the fungicide on. And so what I think we'll see is probably rust in the end won't have a big impact on yield, even if we do have a fairly heavy infestation. So what that says to me is that it is an early potential rally with the announcements of rust, with the movement of rust, and then later season it is probably not a very bullish factor, in fact a bearish factor. So that leaves us really with weather, and looks like we're getting a big improvement over what the concern has been on weather as we really march into June.
Questions from our panelists. Wayne Nelson.
Well, Chris, as we were talking there earlier about the hog market, what's your thoughts towards what the hogs are going to do this summer?
Well, I think we really have been surprised that we saw as much break in the month of May in prices as what we ended up with. Certainly lower than what I'd anticipated, pushing back into the 40s. And probably some of that is just because we had too much anticipation that we could see live prices of hogs up in the 60s or near $60 as we even went into June. So I think probably that bearishness in the futures market really has rolled over into the cash market. My guess is we are at a bottom now. We've probably oversold these prices and come back into some prices more on a live weight in the lower 50s. And for the summer, average in the lower 50s. And then by the time we get to the fall, we're going to be on back in the mid-40s. But it really looks to me like we're way overdone in terms of this bearishness on the hogs right now.
Bill Mayer?
Yes, I'd just like to ask you about the, I'm sure you guys east of Champaign here probably feel a little bit better than us west of Champaign after the rain here a couple of days ago. But What's your take on the yields and the corn situation out there? Have we done any irreversible damage yet? Is there low chances to get trend yield, et cetera?
Yeah, as I've sort of looked at these numbers over the years, pretty hard to really lose substantial yield potential in the month of May. And even the crop progress reports on that we have weekly from USDA are somewhat below average, but not substantial for this early in the growing year. We generally do have a pretty low estimate in terms of those crop progress numbers, the way the crop looks. I have a little model. I do some estimates of yield, and what it's suggesting is we've probably dropped 1.5 bushels to 2 bushels on corn due to the lack of quality in the crop that's out there from normal. Now, I think USDA's numbers at 148 were a little bit high, so I think we might be a 144, 144.5 at this point. But again, very little relationship between the way the crop looks right now and what final yields are. Those are really going to be determined on out in July and August. So I think we had to be a bit more moderate than certainly the USDA numbers, dropping probably in that range of 2 to 3 bushels. Soybeans seem to be still have plenty of potential to be trend yields above trend or below, depending on how weather turns out.
Matt Bennett.
Yeah, Chris, this week, you know, we had some guys that we talked to that they were eager to maybe go ahead and make some sales, maybe fall delivery beans in the 650 area. But, you know, you have a hard time really making a whole lot of sales on corn, no more over loan rate than we're at. You know, I guess with what you already said about beans and the lack of a big rally potential in Rust, where would you be at on sales for both corn and beans?
Well, I'd like to be at about a third priced at this point. I think we've had, in this past week, some very good pricing opportunities. Beans, again, technically holding, I think, reasonably well in this market and giving us indications they're not ready to make a big break yet. I think corn and obviously wheat is giving us more of an indication if the rain should come through on into next week, this weekend and next week. Then we could be ready for a fairly big break already in corn. So as you suggest, anything below 240 on December corn just isn't sufficient in my view to go ahead and forward contract. It's not that much above the loan. I think the one strategy that worked in the years 98 through 2001, big crop years, bearish strategy, if you could price any above the loan and then pick up 20, 25 cents of LDP. I think that still is a possibility, so I would like to have some forward priced, maybe 15% or so, if I had not done anything at this point on corn, beans, I'd like to be up to a third forward priced.
Yeah, Chris, as we look at this, how much rain do you think it will take to drive this market down? Will the quarter to three quarters of an inch that's forecast for Sunday, Monday, will that take us down hard, or do we need some more rain in some of the areas in Illinois to actually kill this market?
Well, up to this point, we really haven't suffered, or I should say the crops haven't suffered tremendously because of the cool temperatures. But that obviously is going to be changing very quickly now. You know, normal rainfall at this time of year would be fairly close to an inch per week. So I think any amounts that are below an inch, as we are looking for forecast out over the next 3, 4, 5 days, probably are supportive to the marketplace.
Bill Mayer?
I'd like to ask Chris on the reports coming out next week on old crop corn. What do you see there? Do you see the USDA probably increasing carryout again?
Well, I think so. I think we're really struggling on export sales. I think there's a very good chance we will see exports reduced again and somewhat of an increase then on the carryout. That'll probably be well anticipated. Soybeans, kind of the opposite there, as you've already discussed. I think exports are looking quite good, and a very good possibility we'll drop another 10 to 20 million bushels in terms of that carryout. So beans keep getting a little friendlier. Corn keeps struggling.
And Matt Bennett.
Chris. As far as the acreage report at the end of the month, I guess I'm kind of looking forward to it. you know, we didn't have near the spring, I guess, this year that we had last year. Do you think that we'll have any big adjustments at the end of the month?
Well, no, I'm not looking for any large adjustments. I think the conventional wisdom is that we planted more corn than what maybe the report had suggested. On the other hand, I think two things maybe say that may not be right. One of those is the fact that we did have a very early period of planting. Usually, if you can get crop in the ground, it means that there's going to be somewhat more corn. Second factor is that actually the soybean prices, new crop soybeans, were sure telling producers, go ahead and plant beans. We'll pay you a good premium to take the chance on rust this year. And I think as we got the delays in planting, it may not be very much change in what from what USDA's numbers originally were.
Why, Nelson?
Chris, we saw Smithfield make a statement here that they were getting backed up with product that was already sold, and that's one of the problems in the hog market now that they're having trouble getting the freezer containers and things like that. Is that one of the things that's affecting the pork market now?
Well, that has been. We've really seen, seems like, a very weak demand in terms of the pork products all of a sudden. A little hard for us to exactly see what is going on there other than some resistance of consumers to be buying the product. Probably there was a lot of talk that there was, you know, a lot of buying for the Memorial Day weekend, and that this week after Memorial Day that we would see the retailers again get aggressive. That really doesn't seem to be the case. We have really struggled on the hogs for about 3 weeks now.
Chris, I think you've answered them all.
Well, that sounds good. I hope some of those answers may have been right.
We do appreciate it. Chris Hurt, an agricultural economist at Purdue University. And now a chance for a final word from our panelists, and we'll start over here on my left with Wayne Nelson.
Well, we've all decided and said this is a weather market, and we aren't good weathermen. Our names are not Ed Kieser. So one of the things we're looking at is buying a July 640 bean put for 5 cents in case this weather market comes in and it does start raining. Or on the other side, buying 10 July 780 calls at a penny apiece in case this weather gets dry. So being I'm not Ed Kieser, we're going to try to play both sides.
Bill Mayer?
Just to follow up on something Chris said there, I think we've had 2 years, recent years, that we had similar dry springs, April, Mays, 92 and 88. In 88, we were down 37 bushel below trend, and in 92, we were above trend by about 20 bushels. So a lot to happen yet over the next 30 days.
Matt Bennett?
I'd like to see guys go ahead and move forward, like Chris said, and make some sales on beans. I think there's some good opportunities here. I wouldn't get too carried away, but maybe a quarter or a third would be advisable.
We would like to thank our panel, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILL.UIUC.EDU. Click on AM on the left-hand side of the page and then Agriculture on the right. This is Dave Dickey.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.EDU.